morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you, my friends. Hello. Oh, it's election day, November 3rd. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stacy Ann. And thank you for your patience today. As we know, it's election day, and it's a very important day that we get our information out to you, our friends and our listeners, that we stay engaged in this process. And we had some technical difficulties last hour that makes things a little bit challenging. But you know what? We have some flexibility, and the beauty is with live radio, we can adjust and we can pivot. And on the air with me is Jeff Croft. Thank you so much for joining me, Jeff, this morning. I believe you had a great message that needed to be told this morning. And so I'm going to pitch it over to you to continue on and hit the points that I think our listeners need to hear this morning. Go for it, Jeff.
Stacy Ann, first of all, thank you for being gracious to allow me to come on your show for a few minutes here, given that I was, just because of the technical issues, I couldn't do the show this morning, political coffee. So I posted on my Facebook page, Stacy Ann, at the normally when I go on the bottom of the hour break at 6:30, mm-hmm. I'll get up, walk around, and I got up and I looked outside, and there's this beautiful red sky. So I took a picture of it.
Awesome.
And I took a picture of it kind of with the red sky behind the Trump and the American flag that I have on the back of my pickup that I've been driving around with for the last several weeks. And I posted this. I said, "Red sky in the morning, Biden. Take warning."
That's awesome.
The old adage, right? You know, from
yeah,
sailors.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, indeed.
So, it's getting a lot of likes out there. So that's kind of fun. Well, it is election day, and we're going to be. My belief, Stacy Ann, is we're going to be celebrating not just a Trump victory.
Yes.
But I think a lot of other unexpected electoral outcomes are going to happen all over the country, and I think they're going to happen here in Oregon. And this is not unprecedented. You know, just I go back to 2010. You know, I'd left the legislature in 07, and I was working in grassroots politics in 2010 all over Oregon. And even though I was that tied into the grassroots, Stacy Ann, I had no idea.
Right.
That conservatives would almost take over the entire legislature and elect Chris Dudley, an NBA player with no political experience, as our governor.
Incredible.
And what's amazing is that it happened even though there was very high voter turnout. But what everyone was missing, and this is one of the takeaways that I want your listeners to understand. Just because there's high turnout in a particular party doesn't mean they're voting for that slate of candidates in that party or any of the candidates in that party. And that's what we found out in 2010. And that's why I want people to be hopeful. Because frankly, I see a lot of the elements on steroids that drove the incredible red wave across America. And it was. And it was not just Oregon, but it was all across America. Governorships, legislatures, over 1,000 state elected officials were elected in America in 2010. It was all because of the backlash to Barack Obama's ideas, his policies. Obamacare had been passed earlier in the year. All of these things that got people riled up and fired up, you know, in the first part of 2010, we had the massive Tea Parties all across the country, certainly here in Oregon.
Yes.
The same thing is happening, but it's even more powerful and greater today. And that is, America really feels like, I mean, it just feels like people understand that we're at a turning point. And we're literally, as Mark Levin likes to say, we're staring over the edge, looking down into the abyss. Do we fall in, or do we retain our liberties? And I mean, that's what this election boils down to. It's either liberty or tyranny. And I think people are getting that. They're understanding. I'm seeing a lot of that kind of verbiage, Stacey Ann, on social media that I never saw before. Well, and I certainly didn't see that in 2010, even though people said, you know, this we're indebting the future of our nation. We're going hard towards socialism. They were saying that back then, but now we've come so much further down the road. And so here's an idea that I want to throw out to your listeners. I look at a website called The Lid. It's lidblog.com for those of you who want to check it out. And the lead story is people of faith. This is the headline, Stacey. People of faith, get out and vote for Trump. Reject socialism, Democrats, and Joe Biden. And so there's a picture of Vladimir Lenin, and it's a quote from his book of 1905 called Socialism and Religion. And I want to say that again, Socialism and Religion.
Interesting.
And here's the quote, quote, "We must combat religion. This is the ABC of all materialism and consequently Marxism," unquote. So, Stacey Ann, Vladimir Lenin, in a book called Socialism and Religion, not Communism and Religion, basically says in that quote that combating religion, he's equating Marxism with socialism, is what he's doing here. So here's the question, and this might be a little bit controversial, but I think it's okay. Do Christians commit sin and vote for evil if they vote for Democrats? I mean, this is, my mother told me a story about some wonderful dear folks, friends that are friends of her that I know, and they just despise Donald Trump. These are very solid Christian people, and they live it every day in their lives. I know these people. They cannot vote for Donald Trump. So, and it's because they don't like his personality, Stacey Ann. So if that's the case, well, and they vote for a Joe Biden who believes in late-term abortion. You can abort a baby up to the moment it's being born. They believe in the idea that socialism is an appropriate philosophy of governance from cradle to the grave, government programs, government having this incredible power to do what they're doing to us right now, you know, demanding that we not meet in large groups. And heck, the story today on the Oregon watchdog about Kate Brown's, you know, saying you shouldn't go out and trick or treat. And then there's the OHA director giving out trick-or-treating candy.
Oh, boy.
It's do as I say, not as I do, which everybody knows never worked with your kids, and it doesn't work in politics. This whole point that you have two systems of justice. Kate Brown gets to say this and then go do another thing. Democrats get to do this and go say another thing. All of that is tyranny. So if socialism stands for not the people, but for a small group of elite people who know better than the rest of us, telling us, do as I say, not as I do, like Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, right? Who let her husband do all the things that she said nobody else could do. People don't like that. And if that's what socialism is, if socialism takes our rights from us, if it destroys our human initiative, because it says you don't have to be responsible for the things you do as an individual because we're all victims. And your traditional morals, well, those are old-fashioned. Now we must embrace whatever society and the culture says we have to. And that no more limited government. No, no, no. Government is the answer to everything. If that's what socialism is, and we know that it's destructive because it's never worked anywhere, it's ever been tried. If that's what Democrats stand for this day, so do Christians vote for evil if they vote for Democrats? What do you think?
Oh, I think the verdict is pretty clear. in my mind, because the fact that we know as believers that this battle is not against flesh and blood. In fact, we experienced that this morning with the technical attack that we had, that the message is so clear, and yet there's so much deception. Just as we often hear ourselves say, we have a right to vote. Yes, we have a right, but more so, we have a responsibility. And I believe as believers, we have to evaluate based on the biblical standards and values, the candidate. And out of the chute, the Democrat platform does not support life. So I personally believe that, yes, to vote Democrat is voting against biblical values.
So for Christians specifically, then if you're voting for people who do not hold your same biblical values, are you voting for evil then?
Hmm.
It's a question they need to ask themselves. And with that, Stacey Ann, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a smile on your face. I read an email from one of my listeners yesterday about how pollsters are being sly because the Trump people don't want to answer polls, and that they're calling and they're asking you if you have a pet or a dog and what's that pet's name. And if, and I told the story that if the dog's name is Ralph, this is the hypothetical, mm-hmm. how would Ralph vote if Ralph was voting for president? Well, one Wolfie, Wolftone, sent me an email and he said, in regard to the Ralph story, I question and question. I would respond this way, quote, since Ralph is a dog and has no knowledge of politics, I guess he would vote for Biden. If Ralph is a dog and has no knowledge of politics, I guess he would vote for Biden. Sadly, that's where a lot of people are. And that's driven a lot by our culture and social media. This is a powerful day. I believe that God's hand is moving in an extraordinary way, even beyond what we think. You see, Stacey Ann, after all the TV commercials are done, after you and I are done talking and everybody else today, and all the radio ads and all the mailers are out there and all the door knockers, all the human things that we have done to run campaigns, all of them, it's now up to God. All that stuff is done and over with. Now it's up to God and the moving of the Holy Spirit in people's lives.
Yes.
And that's our prayer. We prayed two and a half hours last night at church for a lot of things having to do with this election, but most of all, God's will to be done in each and every race. And that's my prayer, and that's what I'm going to be doing all day today on the farm. I'm just going to be praying all day.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning and joining us, as I think this is a critical day, and we know that it's not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. And we know that no matter what, tomorrow we know whose we are and who we are. And we know God is with us and we can go boldly, courageously forward. Thank you, Jeff, for joining me today. Have a blessed day at the farm. See you maybe tonight. All right. Take care.
Indeed.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this election day and every day. We're going to do some checking in with folks all around the country and find out how the momentum is growing. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and so glad to be joining you on this November 3rd, 7:22 in the morning. And I want to remind you tonight, as the election results come in, we're going to be doing some Facebook Lives and giving some updates through Facebook. So if you are our friend on Facebook or have not become our friend yet, KSLM Radio, and certainly we have a link to election resources at our website, kslm.news, where it links to the Secretary of State site, which we'll be monitoring and updating after 8 o'clock tonight. You know, the thing that that I realized with living here at Pacific Time, that we're going to already start seeing results roll in, you know, from the East Coast throughout the country. And then everybody's kind of waiting on our states to wrap things up. And the beauty of living in different states for me and meeting people all over the country is I have connections on my Facebook page with people all over the country. And you heard me talk about this earlier on a little bit last week and a little bit yesterday, that I really sense this momentum thing going on across the United States. The people are getting out and voting. People are going and doing things that they've never done before. And so my desire this morning is to connect with people that I know all across the states and throughout the area. And going into hour two, we're going to talk to more folks locally of what's going on in that momentum. And in that effort, I am bringing on the air with me this morning a friend that I've known for a few years. Her name is Amy, and she is living in Alabama. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for joining the morning show this morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, I have to say, I just want to say thank you because your husband served our country for many years, and you and I met in South Dakota. Yep. And I've watched your journey, you and your husband, as he retired and you moved to Alabama and raising your family. And you're just an amazing, your family's amazing patriots. Thank you for being the light in your part of the world. You had something really exciting happen over the last couple days. What's going on in Alabama? And is the red wave there as well?
Oh, gosh. So basically, we went to the Trump rally in Rome, Georgia on Sunday, mm-hmm. and we stood about 8 hours, and my cousin and my uncle and I went. It was amazing. I mean, when you've got 30,000 people holding hands, praying, and I'm just getting goosebumps talking about it, the feeling, the patriotism, the love that you felt for our country and Donald Trump and each other, it was amazing. I mean, it brings me to tears.
And are you getting the feeling that people are showing up and getting involved like they've never been political before? Are you getting that sense as well?
Yes. And you see, our little town is about 1,500. Median age is about 35 or so. And we're on the Tennessee-Alabama border. And literally, you drive through our little town and there's Trump signs everywhere. And people are friendly here. They get to know each other. We know all of our neighbors. We help each other out, and that's the type of community that we wanted and what we looked for when we moved from South Dakota, because we've got a horse rescue, so we wanted to move a little bit further south and not have to fight the freezing cold winters of South Dakota. And we picked this area because of the values, the conservative values, the love of God, love of nation. So we were so excited to move here, and we've been here almost 6 years, and we absolutely love it.
Incredible. So with the pandemic and the ripple effect across the country and how it's affecting, I know certainly here in Oregon, but we're in a very, very blue state here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. On my list here, I got a list from Sean Hannity, and he said these are the states to watch: Florida, Iowa, Arizona, Ohio, and Georgia, North Carolina. So what's your sense in generally? I know Oregon's considered a blue state, but there is such a red uprising going on right here. I wouldn't be surprised. They're not counting on Oregon if we do not vote for Trump. I think we're going to vote for Trump in Oregon, and they're going to surprise everybody. What's going on in Georgia?
Well, let me just give you a couple of ideas. We were up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which it's kind of a little bit more liberal. My son lives up there, and we drove up 2 weeks ago. And let's say out of 100 signs, we saw maybe 5 Biden signs. We saw, I think, the Jesus 2020 outranked the Biden signs. And then we saw literally nothing but Trump signs. I was counting them, taking pictures of them the whole way, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, going to Georgia was the same way. We drove about 3.5 hours to Rome, and then once we got into Rome, there was trucks everywhere with the Trump signs hanging off the back. There was vendors out there. People were buying the flags, T-shirts. I mean, we stood in line for probably 5 hours.
Wow.
Just to get in. And then it was a round trip of a 12-hour day, but it was amazing. And we were tired when we got home, but it was worth it. And he spoke to, like, we were friends. You just felt comfortable. It wasn't some politician that was just up there just gabbing and giving you a storyline. I mean, it was him just talking about how much he loves the country, and people were yelling, we love you. And then he said, you guys are going to make me cry. And Aww. It was just like we were sitting there with somebody that we knew, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing.
And there's such a sense that he is for the people, for the everyday person, not for special interests or for foreign interests. He really is with us. And that's such a contrast from the other side. In your circle of influence, and I know this to be true in my life, there are people who are absolutely voting for Biden and Harris, and they just despise Trump. They just have this venomous anger towards him. And it's that same tone that when you see the rallies that Biden's holding, it's like he's screaming or angry. When you talk to your friends that aren't voting for Trump, what are you hearing? What's their reason?
It's that they just don't like him. They don't like his tone. And my comeback to that is, we need somebody in this country that wants to stand up to China, that wants to stand up to this Russia hoax that we've all heard about, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do the digging and you start researching, which I have never been political up until 2016, I didn't even know anything about it. I couldn't have cared less. I just didn't want to be part of it. I'm pretty much a peaceful person. My animals are everything to me, my family. I literally just didn't want to be involved. But I've noticed that with kids, even my own kids, going to public schools, they have a way different opinion than we do. And to talk to them about it, they don't understand it. They just know what their friends are saying or what they're hearing on social media. They don't want to research it. They don't want to get into it. They just say, well, we just don't like so-and-so because of this. And then you ask them why, and they really don't have a good reason. We just don't like him.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, that's not a good enough reason. I want concrete proof why you don't like him. Would you rather have somebody that's going to stand up for you or give you a speech?
Oh, that's great. Well said, Amy. I want to have you on the air again and tell your story real soon about your rescue and all of that. Let's do it again.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for joining me this morning, and thank you for voting for Trump.
Absolutely.
You have a wonderful day, and we'll look forward to connecting with you soon, okay?
All right. God bless you.
God bless
you.
Take care. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. That was Amy from Georgia. We're going to be checking in real soon with Dina. She's in Virginia, and she's been working the phone lines for Trump. She is a go-getter, grassroots organizer. She'll be with us after the break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with news that you can use on this election day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this election day. I'm Stacey Ann. Thanking our wonderful sponsor this morning, Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group in Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you. And you can give them a call for your real estate needs, 503-939-7099. We are having fun this morning checking in with people all over the country because I believe there is a red wave going on. And we certainly have talked about the momentum, I believe, right here in Oregon, even though everybody's like, oh, it's a blue state. It's always blue. It's always been blue. I believe there is a sea of red. And we're going to see some things happening here in Oregon, even that the pundits are going to shake their head and go, wow, we didn't see that going on, because people have power still. We still have the power. And on the air with me, I'm excited. My friend Dina, who's the director of Grassroots Coalitions with the Leadership Institute, she is on the line with me. And Dina, I am so thankful you're here on the line, giving us an update of what you've been up to and what you're seeing for your perspective. You are like the most insider I know right now. And I have to say, girl, I am so stinking proud of you. I have watched you bloom in your efforts. And I remember when you were on the Trump train early on, and everybody's like, what is Dina doing? Doesn't she know? You know, and early on, you were waving the flag and on the banner in the last election cycle. And I'm just so very proud of you, because I know your heart. You are a defender of life, a whole life. You're a defender of the Constitution, and you are a make it happen type of girl. So how are you, first of all, this morning?
I am awake and running. I've had my coffee. I've been up since 6 a.m. after going to bed. After 3 a.m. last night, I've already been out to a polling place. I took pictures of a candidate. I should say, The Leadership Institute, my normal position is a 501c3 nonpartisan nonprofit, but I took 3 weeks off of work on vacation to volunteer for a political campaign. So if I sound like I'm endorsing any candidates during this call, that's me personally, not the Leadership Institute.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I was out at a polling place early with my candidate this morning, taking pictures of her. She was like, oh, I just want to vote at 7 and get it over with, and we'll take some pictures right as the sun is rising. Well, we showed up at 6:55. The parking lot was packed. She said, what the heck is going on? This parking lot is never full. It's a very Republican district that we're in, so that's a good sign. And she had 40 people in line in front of her. We took her 40 minutes to vote, and by the time she came out, the sun was full up, so we didn't get our early morning sunrise shots. We got early morning sun up shots of her telling people to go out and vote today.
That's outstanding. And are you getting a sense where you're at that there is people engaged that have never been political, have never been involved before?
Yes.
Are you getting that? Are you seeing that?
I am. So I had been up in Michigan for the last 3 weeks, and there was really a turn here. 10 days ago, it went from being people saying, oh, yeah, and not really paying attention, not really caring, to saying, absolutely, I'm voting, and here's how I'm voting. It's going to be tight in Michigan. It's going to be close, but I think that I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to pull it out. Just based on the number of people who were saying to us, A1, that they're voting for us, because I was only door knocking swing in weak Democrat doors, and so many people said they were voting with us. And then, you know, when we asked, do you want to put a yard sign up? For every five no's, we got one yes. Oh, no, not this year. I would normally put them up, but not this year. And so when you're driving around town, you're seeing a whole lot of Biden signs, and I can't even say a whole lot, but there's more of them than what I expected to see. And there's about an equal number of Trump signs, but then I'm thinking, and then we've got all these swing people, these people that don't really identify with the Republican Party, who we know are voting with us, but they won't put out the sign. And that's that silent Trump voter.
Yes.
Or the secret Trump voter, shy Trump voter. That's the word they're using for it, the shy Trump voter. And I just keep seeing stories from my friends around the country saying, oh, this person just voted for the first time. This person voted for the first time. I've got a friend down in Florida who didn't think she was registered due to trying to hide her address from somebody who wished her ill will, and she walked into a polling place just to see what it would be like if she tried to vote and she wasn't registered. Well, it turns out she was registered. She hasn't voted in 20 years.
Wow.
And she voted this year because she was handed a ballot. So she's like, well, I guess I am registered. And she voted. And,
good.
You know, that's somebody that didn't vote in 2016, even though she felt passionately about the candidates in 2016.
Well, and I do think that there are such, even here in Oregon, as blue as it is, and there are so many people that I know, a couple, they're in their 50s. They've never registered. They've never voted. They've just been doing life, right? Raising their family, working their jobs, building their business. They've just been doing life. And even though these elected leaders impact their life with the decisions that they're making and the increased taxes and all of those things that we talk about, they just had no reason to. And this year, they're like, oh my gosh, fully engaged, ready to make a difference and alerted. It's like, you know, you hear this as far as the BLM and the all of that, everybody's woke. There's like this awareness like I've never seen before. And I think people realize, hey, my vote still matters. It does matter, right?
Yeah, it does. And here's the thing. Okay, so you keep saying Oregon's blue. But if you look a map at the counties of Oregon, or you look at a map of the precincts in Oregon, there's a whole lot of red there and a whole lot of purple there and a whole lot of light blue that can easily be turned purple or red if people just show up and vote. Because here's the deal. Most of the laws that impact us day to day are made at the local level.
Right.
The shutdowns going on in our state are done at either the governor's level or at the county commissioner level. And so if you've got county commissioners on your ballot right now, vote for those county commissioners that love liberty, and then tell your friends to do the same. And once you get in line to vote today, don't get out of line for anything. You stay there and you vote and you make sure you mark that ballot and get it scanned or put it into the box or whatever the process is in your location. You do not leave without casting a ballot. And if they say you're not registered to vote there, ask for a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am registered to vote here. I want a provisional ballot. And cast that provisional ballot, and then you may have to go back and prove who you are or that you had the right to vote there, but at least you know your vote has been cast.
Now
it's on paper.
That's a great point and a wonderful reminder. Let me ask you this. You said you're in Michigan right now.
Yes.
And we're here just 45 minutes away from Portland. And our governor called to action and put on awareness, our National Guard, because they're expecting some trouble here. What are you hearing up there as far as trouble? Anything?
Well, first of all, thank goodness your governor's finally calling out the National Guard.
Wow. Right? What a great point, huh?
Yeah. Because, you know, once upon a time, I was told by somebody in Oregon that, oh, Portland's a safe city and you can come here and it's only three areas. And the next week, people were being beaten up
mm-hmm.
outside of that three-block radius.
Mm-hmm.
In Michigan, we know that there is a women's group that is planning a protest/celebration tonight downtown. In the town that I'm at, they're not expecting anything. And I am 3 or 4 hours from Detroit, so I'm in a very fairly safe area. I feel very confident where I'm at.
Good.
I don't think we'll have any problems here. Now, where I live in Virginia, my apartment is in a very safe area, but my office and my organization is on a list of targeted locations to be protested/celebrated in front of on Wednesday. So whether they win or lose, they're going to show up at our offices and protest and or celebrate, even though we're a 501c3 nonpartisan nonprofit. But because we are conservative leaning, they count us as a Trump booster.
Mm-hmm.
And they plan on coming to our area and shutting down our street and who knows what else. And so we've been told that we are not to come to work on Wednesday, that the building will be locked and shut and whatever else. I obviously haven't been home in a couple weeks to see if they've made any other security changes, but I would imagine that we're going to be locked up pretty tight there because we are not expecting a quiet, peaceful night in D.C. tonight, win or lose.
Okay.
No matter who wins, no matter who loses, they are not expecting peace in D.C., and it's not the Trump supporters that are gathering and making plans and storing bricks and freezing water bottles with caustic chemicals inside of them.
Mm-hmm. It never has been. Has it been? All
it never
this time.
Has been.
Right,
no.
Right. So let me ask you this from your strategic grassroots mind and game plan. As we look through as we watch the results tonight, especially for those that are new at this, you and I were more mm-hmm. seasoned. We know kind of how to look and look for the electoral votes and what states need to be, you know, secured and all of that. It's going to be interesting being out here on the Pacific Coast because so much of that, it'll be as we move across the United States waiting mm-hmm. for what happens, which we kind of already know. But I think we are going to be surprised. I really think we are in Oregon, maybe even in California. But what should we look for? What are some key elements as we look at to discern ourselves, not count on the mainstream media to tell us, but what things do we need to look for?
Well, first off, since I'm talking to a Pacific Coast audience here,
mm-hmm.
even as they start calling the early states, like Kentucky will be one of the first states called. Polls close at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is what, 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
your time.
Right.
They're going to immediately call Kentucky for Trump. The McConnell race against Amy McGrath might take longer to call. But, you know, as they're calling these races, no matter what direction you think it's going in, it is so vitally important that you don't get out of line. You go vote. What time do the polls close there in Oregon?
8 o'clock.
7? 8 o'clock.
Yep, 8 o'clock here.
7:55 and you realize you haven't voted yet? Grab your keys, get down to the polling place as quickly as possible. As long as you are in line by 8 p.m., they have to let you vote.
Great.
Get in line.
Great
okay?
word.
It doesn't matter if you're in the door. If the line goes out the door, if you're in line, you vote.
Dina, we're going to go to a break.
Sorry
to cut you off. We're going to break, but we're going to have you be on the other side if you can hang with us yet, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We have Dina on the line, and she is incredibly skilled at campaigns and getting out the vote. And we're going to find a little bit more of what she's been up to in Michigan. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's Election Day. Woohoo! November 3rd. Trusting that you have already filled out your ballot and put it in the ballot box. Of course, we have mail-in ballots here, but you can go down, and a lot of people were holding on to them, and get them in today at the county seat is where I'm encouraging you. There's drop-off boxes, but I say get it down. If you can get to the county, your county seat, get them in, get them filled out, it's not necessarily, yes, it's a right, but it is a responsibility to vote. We have a responsibility to vote. Friends, and we are doing check-ins all over the country. Of course, we just earlier we had Amy call in. She was at the Trump rally in Georgia talking about how it was an incredible time, that they really felt like President Trump was with them, not at them, talking to them, talking above them, with them. And that was such an overwhelming experience, really cool. They were all holding hands and praying and believing, and that our country, we can keep it great again. And we're so thankful to have you listening in this morning, and we're connected with Dina. She has experience in campaigns. Man, Dina, how many years now have you been working grassroots, right in the trenches? You and I met, I believe it was in 2004, when you were helping. We had a huge change in our state of South Dakota at the time. You were working there, and you were helping candidates. You and I met when there suddenly there was an opening on the House side, the U.S. House in South Dakota, and that's where you and I first met. And you are a life advocate. You are you got on the Trump train early on, way early, when he ran, and everybody thought, oh, who's Trump and why is he running? Way back in the day, and you continue to educate and train people that they too can make a difference, that their vote counts. And you're in Michigan right now. You said you're on a break. You're taking personal vacation to help get out the vote. Talk to us about what kinds of things you've been doing. And I know Michigan people actually can go to the polls and vote, which I missed that from South Dakota, by the way, because here we got our ballots mailed to us, and they've been doing that for about 20 years. But I dropped it off at the county. Terry and I dropped them off right at the county about
Good
2 weeks
you.
Ago. So talk to us about what you've been doing and what you're seeing there.
Yes, sorry. First of all, I forgot I was calling into Oregon. I'm so used to telling people to get in line.
I know, right?
I forgot you guys just have to get that ballot dropped by 8 p.m. Make sure it is in the box.
Yes, that's right.
So whatever, bowl through everybody, push them to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Tough grandma, I'm kidding. Do not break grandma's hips. But get your ballot into the box.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you can do to get out the vote. There is... You choose the campaign of your choice and either find their campaign office or find their campaign phone number and tell them that you want to volunteer today.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be making calls in Oregon, sitting at home in front of your computer. You can be calling into places that need the calls. Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, South Carolina. And then as those polls start to close, because it's still fairly early for you all, you could start calling, you know, to the middle of the country and then
yes.
on to the West Coast. And those calls really do make a difference. Just reminding people, we figure that for every 28 voters that a person talks to, they will find somebody who intended to vote but just forgot or got busy or mom got sick and I had to go take care of her and now I'm... you know, too much going on, but it's 6:30 and I still have 30 minutes to get down to vote, so let's go do it. This morning, I had a handyman at the place where I was staying, and I asked him if he had voted yet, and he's like, oh, I'm not so sure, and I want to finish this job, and I was like, this family will let you leave to go vote.
Yes.
He left to go vote. I was like, go vote. Don't,
get her
don't
done.
Stay here.
Yes.
Yeah, you can finish up this project tomorrow. We won't care as long as you vote today. So that's one thing that you can do from home is make the calls. So, for instance, I am sitting in a campaign office, but I am on, the local campaign has got me on a program called Sidekick, Campaign Sidekick, and I'm making calls via Campaign Sidekick. And when we get done with that list, I'm going to switch over to Trump Talk, and I'm going to be making calls to via Trump Talk. And Trump Talk will send me all over the country once we get done with the Michigan list. And it's kind of cool because you get to talk with people across the country and remind them, hey, go vote. So there's that. And then I wanted to circle back, if it's okay, Stacey,
sure.
I wanted to circle back to your thing about things to look for.
Yes.
So in Florida, you know, one of the first states that's going to close down is Florida. Their polling locations close at 7 p.m., but they also have the panhandle, which is on Central Time. So they won't be calling Florida until after 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But by 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., we will have the absentee votes in from Miami-Dade County. Miami-Dade is the biggest county. They didn't have as many Democrat votes coming in early as they thought they would. And they've been counting since midnight. I believe they've been counting since midnight. That's in 2016, they started counting at midnight. And so if Miami-Dade doesn't hit what the Democrats' expectations are or what the projections are for Democrat turnout, that Florida may be called early. It was called fairly early in 2016. I remember I was at the Marco Rubio celebration party. And we were, they called the Marco Rubio race at 9 o'clock. And we were all in shock because we thought we'd be there till 11 or midnight. That was our plan for the night. And instead, we left at 9:30 because Rubio had already come out, made his speech, and then everybody left.
Incredible.
So we're like, okay, what do we do now? We went back to our hotel and hosted our own little election night party there.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio is usually called by 10 p.m. So that's another big one to look for. And when it comes in, Pennsylvania probably will not be called tonight. And I know it's like this linchpin state, but they are going to be counting any ballot that comes in for the next 3 days as if it was mailed before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know what the turnout in Pennsylvania is going to be. The goal in Pennsylvania is to get so many people to vote today that there are not enough absentee ballots left to be mailed in to change the outcome of the election.
That's great.
Another one to watch is Maine. Up there in Maine, you've got the Senator Collins is running for re-election, and it's the fight of her life. Something interesting about Maine is it's not a winner-take-all state for the Electoral College. So they have three Electoral College votes. One will go to the popular vote winner in the entire state. One goes to the popular vote winner for the first congressional district. And one goes to the popular vote winner of the second congressional district.
Mm.
In 2016, Hillary Clinton got two of the votes and Donald Trump got one of the votes. And so we're watching that one to see whether or not Trump can get one of the votes out of there again. Because when you only have to get 270, that one vote matters.
It does matter. Yeah, it does matter. And I know we only got a few moments left here, Dina. I appreciate your time. Can I connect with you later on in this week and we could do an analysis of what happened? Would that be all right?
Anytime, Stacey, just reach out.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dina. And we're going to continue to do the check-in around the country, moving into the 8 o'clock hour, and then check in with some local races, too. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this election day. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.